it felt like I was getting my power back in the sense of
Yeah.
prior to that, I was like, well, what am I doing wrong? What's happened? And it did knock, my self-esteem. And I also was very conscious of working with my clients and thinking, if I can't, excuse my language, sort my shit out, then how am I
Yeah.
supposed to help these people that are looking for advice?
Kia ora, are you a woman navigating midlife, menopause and beyond? I'm Megan Kerr, your midlife mentor and psychosynthesis counsellor and coach. Join me as we dive deep into the heart of midlife, unravelling the complexities of menopause and exploring uncharted territories that lie beyond. Together we'll navigate through self-doubt, bid farewell to people-pleasing, conquer imposter syndrome and tame those overwhelming feelings. It's time to celebrate this vibrant second chapter of life, claiming your authentic confidence and courage along the way. Midlife is not a time to settle. It is a time to unleash your purpose, make an impact uniquely your own, all while prioritizing your well-being. So buckle up for conversations that resonate with the essence of your midlife journey. Are you ready? Let's begin. Hey, my friend. This week on the podcast, I dive deep with my friend and colleague, Fiona Ross. If you're a Taranaki local, you probably already know of Fi and her involvement in the fitness industry. She's an owner of gyms here in New Plymouth. She's also a craniosacral therapist, a colour therapist, and a great support to many people in our local area. I wanted to hear from Fiona what it was like for her going through menopause, what she learned from that, and how that's really shaped her in terms of the support that she gives to midlife women. Take a listen. I think you'll really enjoy this transparent, sometimes vulnerable, and really inspirational conversation that I had with Fi. Hey, welcome to the podcast, Fiona Ross. Thank you so much for joining me. Tell me all about you and the people you help.
Thank you, Megan. So yes, I've been involved with fitness for about 32, 33 years. I was a midwife. I got involved with fitness when I was a midwife, but that kind of took my interest. And yeah, I've just kind of taught classes, do a lot of rehabilitation, anybody that's got any injuries, whether they're younger, older, just people that are looking for an introduction to the gym. I like sort of helping people to develop their confidence. And that kind of relates to our sort of midlife years as we speak. I've taught many different kind of classes. And then I've kind of branched out in that sort of holistic health approach because I realized that sometimes I'd help people in the gym and realize that actually it seemed like I was doing all the right things and things weren't still not getting better. And that's where I kind of explored craniosacral therapy, color therapy. Yeah, lots of yoga, you name it, I've done.
Yeah, you're the whole package, Fi.
Well,
if you don't know Fi, she is the whole package.
Thank you.
So tell us about how you help midlife women. And I know you help them in many, many ways, because like you say, you also work as a craniosacral therapist and with sound healing. But in terms of our physicality, because we were just chatting before about you don't know till you actually go through perimenopause the changes that actually happen in your body. Like prior to that, it's kind of like you hear about it. You might hear about hot flushes and insomnia, but you don't really know it from a lived experience, of course, until you go through it. So what's been your journey with, your physical health and well-being, your strength and your fitness going through perimenopause and menopause? Can we start there?
So interestingly, I'm not saying I thought I was okay, as in, oh, well, I'm in this health industry, I keep myself fit, I do a bit of running, strength training, you name it, I'll be fine. And a really weird thing happened, or not a weird thing, but I remember my sister-in-law always saying to me, how come you've got a flat stomach after having two children? And what I first noticed was my midsection started not being flat, if you like.
Yeah,
that sounds very vain, but it was kind of like I'm doing all the same things. I eat well. I've been a vegetarian since I was 19. I'm 59 now, and I regularly exercise. Nearly every day and doing something. And I just thought, oh, it's just what happens. And I started wearing, and I noticed that midlife women wore baggier tops. And I thought, oh, well, I'll just wear slightly baggier tops. And that's just what it is. And it wasn't really until I discovered Dr. Stacey Sims, I started reading up a little bit about sort of perimenopause and menopause. And I probably the main sort of two things I was also experiencing was kind of sort of hot flushes and a little bit of insomnia or not sleeping as well. And yeah, so I had started doing a bit of reading, a bit of research, started playing around with a few things, even stopped drinking coffee. I don't drink a lot of alcohol, but I kind of really cut back on that as well and started playing around with a little bit of heavier weights and didn't do any running, did mainly walking. And things did start to shift. And I realized that, you know, I might not have the flat stomach that I had when I was pre-menopause, mm-hmm. but I just felt like I had a little bit more power around what was actually happening for me. And the no coffee and the no, you know, reduced alcohol made a big difference as well in my sleep. So it was a huge, and it still is an experiment, even though I'm 59 and I still have a hot moment. I definitely sleep better. And my training does look a bit different. I still do weight training 3 times a week. I still do a bit of walking and I do intermittent bursts of cardio, which I think is, which I read is much better for our age group. So yeah, I've had to kind of experiment and work out what works best for me, but then it still is an experiment.
Yeah, it's ongoing, isn't it? And do you think that self-experiment, because, you know, we've known each other a long time and I've seen how fit you are and how strong you are, and then, you know, hearing from you, your experience going through menopause and the changes in your body. So what sort of difference did those subtle kind of tweaks make for you overall? Like, has it been a big change? Has it been significant?
I would say it felt like I was getting my power back, in the sense of,
yeah,
prior to that, I was like, well, what am I doing wrong? What's happened? And it did knock, you know, my self-esteem. And I also was very conscious of working with my clients and thinking, if I can't, excuse my language, sort my shit out, then how am I supposed to help these people that are looking for advice? And it does. It's a bit of a mental game as well, as in, you know, I'm not saying confidence hasn't, even though I'm teaching classes, I'm in front of people and I might look confident, that confidence has come from self-development and understanding. But when I was noticing these changes in my body, my confidence went down a little bit. So I think I noticed more my confidence was coming back because I felt like I knew what to do.
You knew what tools to use or how to change your approach, and then you started seeing results for yourself and how you felt. So extracting from that, your understanding is that we should, or it's good for us to approach exercise differently in midlife?
Yes, definitely. And in saying that, I still think I can only lead, or, you know, give advice around my own experience. I don't know what it's like to be in somebody else's body. I still think exercise in general, doing something, is important to move the body. And, you know, what I do might not be right for the next person. So, but if you've always been a regular exerciser, you've always lifted weights, you've maybe done classes, and things are changing and you're not sure why are things changing, then you need to think, well, maybe I need to change. And change is a funny thing. We don't like to change. We want to keep doing the same thing.
That's right. Even if we have, like, even if we have the thought, I want this change, our brain, we've got these pathways already set up, right? So that's why change is so difficult initially, because our body and brain will stay with the status quo, will stay with what's safe. And then you add to the mix the fatigue or insomnia or hot flushes or whatever's going on for a woman in perimenopause. And it, for my experience anyway, it sort of made it harder to get moving and create change. And I'm not saying I'm 100% there yet, because there are times where I'm like, freaking hell, you know, I need to get back up and feel like I'm kind of starting again. I guess what ticks me off, because we were talking about having a really honest, transparent conversation about this time of life and what really goes on for us and from your perspective. But what I see so much is, you know, we can sell you this fad diet, this fad exercise plan, and you're going to get rid of your meno belly in 30 days or whatever it is. What are your thoughts on that?
Sad but true, you know, that we're like a target market for the fad diets, the quick, and it's all about the quick results. And I honestly don't think that is a thing. I think we get hooked in it because we're not confident and we really are desperate, as opposed to going, okay, what can I do to make some changes and can they be consistent? And I often talk about this with my clients, that if they come in with this idea of, I want to do 6 days a week, I'll say, you know what, I would rather you came in twice or three times a week and that was doable and you didn't beat yourself up trying to do 6 days a week and then after 2 weeks that doesn't happen and you don't come. So I think we are a target, and also because we like quick results, and so often the marketing is done so well that sometimes when we're in that low, you know, that low confidence place, we grab onto whatever we see and just, you know, get hooked in. And I just think, either do some reading and find out and talk to other women, or just question your reason for reaching out to try and get this quick fix, because I don't think the quick fix is a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. And it's natural, isn't it, for us to, at all stages of life, to want the quick fix, to reach for what's going to fix us. And we think, well, if I can get the weight gain, which is really normal at this time of life, get that under control, then I'll feel better in myself. But as we both know, it's a much more holistic approach is required, because there's so many levels that are changing and altering in midlife and perimenopause. Yeah.
Mm.
So you've been really helpful for me personally in helping me to understand the importance of lifting heavier at this age, and, you know, what happens to our muscles, to our strength, and how we can create a change around that. Can you talk briefly? I know it's a massive subject, but is it possible, like, to sort of sum up what happens for a woman, say, in perimenopause or early menopause, in terms of our muscle mass, in terms of our strength, and then we'll go on to, you know, what can we actually do about it?
You're right, and it is a big subject.
Sorry to hit you with it.
Thank you. There is a lot of information in, and I think I've shared this with you, Dr. Stacey Sims' book Next Level, which is all about menopausal women, and her book prior to that is Roar. And I think the most important thing is understanding. For me, it's understanding what's happening in my body, and then it makes sense, as in our hormones, estrogen and progesterone, are, you know, lower than they were before menopause. And if we find out what those hormones did for us, and then that helps us understand why we're experiencing what we're experiencing. I think the biggest thing that I would share is that when people realize that when we become insulin resistant, and the short, sharp exercise is going to do the job of what the estrogen and progesterone were doing. So it's actually basically helping our bodies to
use,
rather than the insulin, is helping the glucose go into our muscles, into our liver, instead of having the estrogen and progesterone doing that.
Yes. All right. So I'm going to ask you this curly question. All right. So I'm going through perimenopause. My energy is down. I've got insomnia. I just feel so bloody tired all the time. And then I'm told that I need to exercise, right? Mm-hmm. But when I exercise, I end up getting really tired. So if I was your client, Fee, what would you say to me?
A few things. I would check around your nutrition around your actual exercise, i.e. how are you fueling yourself before your exercise and after. Again, because and including myself, I would often get up in the morning, and when I did a bit of running, I'd be out running on an empty stomach. And at our age, that the body doesn't want to do that anymore, because our cortisol, our stress hormone, is increased if we go out on an empty stomach. And so the body thinks it's being attacked, and so we'll hold on to weight, and we're going to feel tired, and it's just not going to help. But also, if we come back and then think, oh, I'm not going to eat because that's going to help me lose weight, then we can definitely sort of flatline with our energy. And so it's really important how we fuel ourselves before exercise and after exercise.
I think you were really helpful for me in that regard, because I was that person that was really tired. And I was like, look, I can manage a walk. You know, I think I should be lifting weights, because I've read that that's really good for women of our age. But when I started to do that, I was so freaking tired afterwards. And we were just having a little chat about it. And you said, well, make sure you eat before. And I was doing that. And you said, well, maybe you need to have some good nutrition straight away afterwards. That's going to help your recovery. And honestly, that's been so helpful for me. Like, it really did help the recovery happen sooner. And then because that happened, that helped me get into momentum.
Yeah, well, as I was saying that, you know, including myself, that old belief around I need to starve myself to lose weight definitely doesn't work for us now. And so nutrition done well can help us fuel our exercise, but it can also help with our weight loss as well.
Right. So we should, like, and I've heard that from another guest. She was saying a lot of women actually don't eat enough to nourish
Absolutely.
Their body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you find that for yourself as well, that you had to change how you were fueling your body? Because I know that you're, like, from my understanding anyway, you're very nutritionally sound as a person.
Yeah, I think the only difference was that non-fasting. So if I'm going to exercise in the morning, I'll always have something, just maybe little, especially if I'm doing weights or heavier weights. And unless I'm just going out for a walk, if I'm doing any of the sort of sprint interval training, the sort of short and sharp stuff, then I'll fuel myself before that as well. So and then make sure I eat afterwards.
And so in terms of, you know, I'm that person that was, you know, very fatigued in perimenopause. And had I come to see you as a client, you know, help me feel, you know, I was a lot very fatigued all the time, but I did understand that I needed to be stronger in my body. What would you have me start with? What sort of things, like weights, yoga? What would you recommend?
Obviously, I would check with your history, as in, have you done any weights before?
Yeah.
And even though we've spoken about lifting heavy weights, it's all relative to you.
Yes.
So I would just start you where I knew that, one, you were safe and that you could manage, and literally just build up a foundation of good technique, and you feel empowered by it, and then get you to start to increase the weight as you feel it's becoming easy. So, but I would also start with some of those just sort of mobility, stability exercises.
Yeah.
As much as we're talking about weights, body weight is a good place to start if you've never done anything.
So even if I, say, started on some, say, for example, if I started on some leg strengthening exercises at home and I felt that I could really only manage 10 or 15 minutes, should I even bother?
Definitely. Again, information out there, and there's lots of, you know, you must do this and you have to exercise for this amount of time. And I often say to clients, a little bit like I've said before, they'll come in, I want to do 6 days a week, and I'll say, right, if you can do 2 or 3 days, I'd much rather you just did that. And it's the same with, if you said to me, I've only got 20 minutes or 40 minutes or half an hour or 15 minutes, I'd say, right, just do it, just start. Because I can almost guarantee, as soon as you start doing that and you feel better about yourself, you'll automatically start adding another 5 minutes, or you'll maybe do half an hour when you said you've only got 15 minutes. So it's all about empowering the client, you know, getting them to feel better, making them kind of in charge, and not making it too hard. So if you said to me, I've only got 15 minutes, I'll say, right, here's 3 exercises. I just want you to do this. And then I can guarantee you'll come back to me and say, actually, I'm really enjoying this. Can I get some more?
Yeah, because it's psychologically, it's important that we have some wins and feel like we're succeeding no matter where we start, so that we have the, you know, that supports the wanting to continue. And, you know, otherwise it just gets dumped in the too hard basket and I'll wait for the next quick fix. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So in lay woman's terms, so that I can understand it, why all this thing about lifting heavy weights? Why is it important for me to build that muscle?
Lifting heavy weights, again, it helps with that lack of estrogen and progesterone. but, you know, lots of other things, including bone health, including our muscle is our engine, if you like. So we lose muscle mass every decade. And if I've got lean muscle mass, and I don't mean big, huge muscles, but if I've got lean body mass, my body's metabolism will be faster than if I'm skinny fat. Yeah. So if I'm, you know, not very muscly or not very toned, and I can still be the same weight, but I might, and that's where people speak about, I'm putting on weight, I'm doing the same thing, and I'm, you know, what's happening? It's because we are losing muscle mass, our engine's not going as well. It means our metabolism drops, and so I'm eating the same thing, and our body's putting on weight. So we want to lift weights to keep that engine going, to help protect our bones, and generally it just makes us feel stronger and able to do things without having to ask for help. You know, asking for help, there's nothing wrong with asking for help, but you know, there's lots of jobs that we take for granted when we're younger, and then suddenly as we get a little bit older, lifting the heavy garden stuff
three bags of groceries in from the car, right?
Absolutely. It becomes functional. I really do think it becomes functional, getting out of your chair, you know, getting off the floor. Yeah. And it's not about what you look like. It's actually what you can do with strong body, you know.
It's exactly what I was going to just say. It's not about what we look like. It becomes about what we do. And to be, you know, of course, it shouldn't ever have been what we look like, but that's the culture we live in. That's how it is. But I love that in midlife, we get to really turn our focus into function. And, when I came into my 50s, prior to that, I was just like, whatever, you know, I'll do a bit of yoga and do a bit of this and do a bit of that. But then I started to see, oh, fuck, just what were the things? Like standing on one foot and tying my shoelace. I'm like wobbling around the place, doing a hike and having lots of stairs. I'm like, oh, that was a bit killer. You know, it's just those simple things. And thankfully, I clocked on. I was like, oh, actually, this is going to be about function. This has to be about function now. Yeah. Like, it's so important. And because what I want to say to people, I guess, is that it doesn't matter where you start from. It's like you can always make these micro improvements add up to being a lot over time and give you that confidence. And I don't know if I've told you this yet, but Ben, I've done a couple of strong sessions for women in New Plymouth where Fee guides them through exercise that's appropriate for women in midlife. And I tag in with some beautiful meditation at the end. And they've been such great events. They've been community events. But how many women that have come to those events that have taken what you've taught them, taken that home and done that at home with one set of weights and maybe nothing else, that's all, and them saying to me, like, I can feel that I'm getting stronger. I feel so much better for doing this at home. I mean, it's such a testament to what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think I'm speaking about a client I've had for a little while now, but she really wasn't a gym goer. She was a bit scared about coming to the gym. She actually had an injury, which the reason she came to me, and she's only been coming once a week, but her strength has increased so much, and she's not doing anything other than seeing me for once a week for half an hour. And so that's why I often say to women, even if you've got half an hour once a week, that's going to make a massive difference and you're going to feel so much better. And she's really loving it. And actually, I don't mean looks like a gym bunny, but she just looks like somebody that's always coming to the gym. And she's, you know, she never ever had stepped foot inside a gym. And yeah, she really looks forward to it. And I think it increases your confidence. It just makes you feel better. And yeah, she does a bit of walking and some other bits and bobs, which has become easier just simply because she's brought that into her week.
Yes. So key, isn't it? And I think it's the slow kind of crawl that I became a bit of a victim of a sedentary job. I'm sitting down all of the time. I'm into walking, but not a lot else. And then is that becoming less because we've got that muscle loss each decade that you talked about? And so then it kind of started to hit me. I was like, oh, shit, I actually have to do something about this. And because I hadn't really exercised was you know, enjoyable with the dog, but I hadn't really thought about lifting weights or anything like that since I was, you know, a young woman. And then understanding like why it's so important for our function has become so helpful. Fee, what about the woman that I talked to and you would as well, that they've got more of the strain injuries that happen in menopause? So the frozen shoulder is a real typical one, right? And then, so then there's quite a bit of pain happening. What would your just off the cuff advice be for someone like that who's like, actually, it really hurts me to exercise. I'm finding this really hard. And something like frozen shoulder can take quite a while to heal, in my understanding. But while that's all going on, we still want to be, you know, strengthening our body somehow. What on earth do you do if you're in that position?
Yep. So definitely have worked with lots of women with frozen shoulders or shoulder injuries or shoulder surgery, and in this age group. And interestingly enough, because we've got lack of progesterone, progesterone helps protect and stabilize our joints. So somehow, I mean, obviously you've got other parts of your body, your legs, your glutes, core. There's a lot there that could be worked with. But at the end of the day, we use our arms a lot. So I think finding somebody who knows and understands injury and finding some exercises, because you can use bands, even though we're speaking about heavy weights, you can use rubber bands, you can go through the motion of a weighted exercise but with just a band, and start to develop a bit of strength in those stabilizing muscles around your shoulders. I mean, we use our shoulders for everything, you know, and again, if it's that old thing around, if you don't use it, you lose it. So unless it's in a sling, unless it's in a cast, you want to be using it somehow. There's always a way.
So getting that expert support to help you find workarounds. And so what about for women who are like, they're really fatigued? You know, so I had chronic fatigue when I had Crohn's disease, and I sort of had a similar pattern when I went through perimenopause for a little while. And so I was like, oh, no, I just need to rest. But eventually I was like, but I'm losing strength as we go here. Like, how do you, I don't know if there's an easy answer for that, but what's your take on that?
I think there's a two-pronged attack, but
that
where my craniosacral, and you are a therapist as well with this, Megan, but again, working with somebody that understands your body at this age, and I've worked with lots and lots of people, and I remember working with this particular lady who, I remember thinking, if somebody watched us doing what we were doing, they would think we were hardly doing anything, but it was all she could manage. And at the same point, we were doing craniosacral as well to support her emotional, mental, you know, and nervous system. And so again, it's finding somebody who understands, and she always felt better. She never ever regretted the session. And I often will say that to people, you'll might not want to step into the gym and you're a bit scared about coming to the session, but you always leave feeling better. So, and it might not be coming to the gym. I've got people that come, I set them up with a program, I might video myself, and they do it at home, and because that's where they're comfortable doing it. So somehow you need to find something that works for you, and whether it's at home, whether it's at the gym, whether it's working with somebody or on your own, but it's also that other part, that sort of mental, emotional part as well. And then other days that, like you said, you do feel tired, and actually you need to honour that and give yourself a rest, you know. So and maybe the walk in the park is the thing that you need, or the walk down the beach.
Yeah, beautiful on that day. And it's a sort of a case of start where you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And like we know from many things in life, that comparison, the comparison with other people becomes problematic. So it's starting where you are. If you've got some serious difficulties going on, then find someone that really understands what happens to the physical body in midlife, because that's very specific, and then start there. So good.
Yeah, I mean, that comparison thing, and I think that it's something that's, we start to compare ourselves to younger women or when we were that age. And so I think forget that, but, and again, there's that other part where we get pulled into really good marketing around anti-aging, and, you know, you can still look youthful. And actually, what about just embracing the fact that you're in this age, and actually all the wisdom that you've gained, and where your life's going to take you now? And so if we do find ourselves comparing or struggling with where we're at, that tells me we need support. You know, we need, and I've had support, so to help me understand where I'm at. So, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I feel like it's, you know, you go and get support for whatever, your accounting or you're a lawyer, or so what about your own personal self, you know, where you're at in your stage and age in life.
Yeah, beautiful. I was just going to start asking a few questions around, or talking about our mindset and our psychological approach. And, you know, you really brought in around comparing ourselves to other women younger than us, or to our younger selves. And it's really natural that we do it, because we are bombarded with it all the time. Or I'm seeing women that are my age that are very, very gym and nutrition focused, that are looking like they're ready to go into some kind of competition, right? Because that's their entire focus. But what I really hear you saying is, it's like, it's about finding functionality, like finding that good function with your physical body and your mental self and your emotional self as well. At the end of it, that's, you know, that's what's so key. That's what's so important. There's no question there.
I'm just kind of
rounding up what I heard you say. You know?
Well, there's an older lady that comes to the gym. She's in her 80s, well into her 80s. And she just comes and does her own little thing. And, it, you know, it's quite gentle, but she does a little bit of weights and a little bit of walking and moving around. And I can guarantee that you know, it's helping her stay young in the sense of her mobility and agility, and she's just moving her body and sort of reiterating what you've just said around the whole functionality. At the end of the day, we want to age gracefully in the sense of being able to do all the things we want to do well, unless you want to enter a competition or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I just think, what is your aim? You know, what is your goal? And just looking after yourself, your physical body, is great, but it's also so that you can, whatever, play with your grandchildren,
yeah,
or take your dog for a walk, or
the why,
the why.
Feel good in your body when you're doing the things that you're doing. And I love that thing that I've been seeing, and you just said it, around removing anti-aging, you know, because that really points us to this cultural belief that aging is somehow not okay.
So
of course, we see that everywhere. It's not new to any of us. But what about the aging well, aging strong, aging like excited about the next chapter of our life? And that's been a good why for me with my physical body, is to be like, well, if I want to still be adventuring in another 10 years' time, I'm going to prepare for that now, so that it's easier for me to do. Sophie, is there anything else that, you know, if you were sitting down, well, you are sitting down with a midlife woman right now. I've always admired you, Fee, because you are a strong woman inside and out, like physically, mentally, emotionally, but you're also not afraid to let yourself be transparent and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that about you. But what, like, if I was asking you for advice around, what can I do, Fee, to sort of lift myself up a little bit, to give myself a little bit of strength, and whether that's physical, mental, or emotional, what's your little bit of advice for me as we come to a conclusion?
I think around, well, it could be looking at, and what you kind of just said earlier around, I don't mean your future self, but in 10 years' time, what do you want to be doing? You know, do you want to be out walking, hiking with your husband or partner or friends? Do you see yourself traveling? And so, do you want to be physically well? And so that's one part. But the other part, I think, which again we've spoken about, is, are you happy, really happy with yourself, where you're at? You know, and if you're not happy, and yes, physical is one part of it, but the mental, emotional part, you know, if you're still being triggered by young people and wishing that you were still 30 or if you were wanting to have, and I'm saying this in a non-judgmental way, but if you want to have Botox or any of those parts, what is it that you're not happy with being who you are right now and look the way the way you look? It tells me something internal is not completely at peace. And I think I've spent a lot of years trying to understand myself at a really deep level so that I can be at peace with myself. And so I think find out, ask yourself, am I really happy both in my physical self and in my internal world, whatever that looks like for you? And if I'm not, then get, you know, ask somebody for some support, just so that you can age, yes, gracefully and strongly into even, you know, 60, 70, 80, whatever, however long you're going to be living, but also that you can be happy with yourself. And that you're, because I remember when I worked as a nurse and I looked after sort of elderly people, and I always used to make me laugh that I used to think, well, when you're at that age, you must be really happy with life because you've lived a big long life and you're coming to near the end of your life, but you'd still see childlike behavior or spiteful behavior or women that would show me their body and go, oh, I'm really fat. And I used to think, oh, but surely you must be happy because you're now 80 or whatever. So I think it's quite funny looking at older people and seeing their personality and their beliefs in themselves still quite strong, because they've maybe not had the support or help to really understand who they are and be happy with themselves and be at peace with themselves. So it's a bit of a long-winded answer, but it's quite a deep question, really.
It is. And I love that you've, sometimes the best answers open the doorway for us to think more deeply for ourselves. Mm. And I just super appreciate that. And like, you've really helped me to connect to my why as to why, you know, I do what I do in terms of my physicality. And I think that it's going to be really supportive for other women that are listening as well. So I thank you so, so much for your time and your wisdom today. If women want to be around some of your wisdom some more in different ways, maybe they want to work with you or follow you on socials or something like that, what's the best way to sort of be in Fee's world in that way?
You can contact me through Rampage Fitness.
In New Plymouth, right? That's in New Plymouth. Yeah.
Or maybe would you just put the link to my Instagram or Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah, because Fiona Ross is my Facebook, but my Instagram, I think it's fitfee17, but it is. Thank you.
Yes. I think there's an underscore in there somewhere. I don't know.
I think there is an underscore there.
I'll link it into the show notes.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much, Megan. Appreciate your friendship and support.
Appreciate you, and thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, thanks for joining me on the podcast. Really appreciate you. Check out my course where we just go so much deeper than I can ever do on a podcast over an 8-week period. The Midlife Upgrade course is a blend of video and learning modules and weekly live calls where you will discover a roadmap for psychological freedom in midlife. Check out all the details on my website. I really, really would love to have you join the course. MeganKerr.co.nz/course.